Okay, I'm going to have you do something very hard and difficult right now. And it's going to be hard for you to find it, but I want you to turn to Zephaniah chapter 1. Okay? Some of you aren't moving. What's that? It's my Hezekiah. You're all looking around. I didn't even know there was a Zephaniah in the Bible. There's a Zechariah. Who's Zephaniah? That's his cousin. I'm just kidding. Oh, Nate won the, what do we call those? The Bible drills? Remember those? Sword drills. Nate won. You always had to be the guy that won, didn't you? Yeah. 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 I will throw things at him on the show. That would be fun. No, you won't. I'll get my shield. We'll just have a... All right, I just had a great idea what I'm going to buy. That's fine. That living room is open, okay? There is a square right there for me and you to... That's fine. I'm telling you, right there. What's that? You'll throw the bike at me. There's an iron in there. I just thought of something that would work good. That would work good for that show. I just thought of something good, so. We don't do promotions. Okay, so I'm giving you time to get to Zephaniah. Okay? I'm trying to be polite and not to point out the fact that you don't know where Zephaniah is and you can't find it. Okay? Just pretend like you have it. Like most people do. Oh, it's right here. It's fine. Anyway. Verse number 12. Yep, of chapter 1. Chapter 14 in Zephaniah. It's right next to Hezekiah chapter 5. James chapter 8. That's terribly mean. That's something that Paul would do. Not, I wouldn't do that. James Lyman does. Okay, Zephaniah chapter 1. All right. And it shall come to pass at that time that I will search Jerusalem with candles and punish the men that are settled on their lees, that say in their heart, the Lord will not do good, neither will he do evil. Therefore, their goods shall become a booty and their houses a desolation. And they shall also build houses, but not inhabit them. And they shall plant vineyards, but not drink the wine thereof. We see here God is pointing out Israel's apathy. Okay, that they're absolutely, oh, God's not going to do nothing. Nothing's really that big. They're rested. They're rested and they're comfortable. And that's really what a lot of American Christianity is today, is very restful and comfortable. And this message is called Christian Apathy in America, and or Christian Apathy, the reason America's going to hell. Because it really is the reason America's, one of the reasons America's going to hell. Because Christians have become absolutely apathetic to everything. They have allowed everything into their homes and in the streets, and they've not taken the streets, they've not went out into the streets, they've just allowed everything to happen. Father, Lord, I pray you'd bless us. I pray you'd teach us from your word here today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. What is apathy? It's a lack of feeling or emotion or interest and concern. Apathy is a state of indifference or the suppression of emotions such as concern, excitement, motivation, and or passion. An apathetic individual has an absence of interest in or concern about emotional, social, spiritual, philosophical, and or physical life in the world. But apathy here we want to talk about is really Christian apathy and really American apathy. But the reason America is so apathetic is because Christians in America are so apathetic. You know, I should have gargled with some of that cayenne. I feel like I'm going to lose my voice here. All right, we'll work on it here. If you have to turn it up a little bit, you might have to, but we'll see. But never has it been more evident to me, this subject of apathy, than at the Planned Parenthood event. It's unbelievable. You're showing pictures of babies that are aborted. Some of these people are looking at them, smiling, laughing, taking pictures with the baby, aborted baby. Yeah. Yeah, eating sandwiches. Like, how did you even eat? Eating sandwiches. And they're standing there, and they want to take pictures with that picture. So proudly and brazenly taking pictures with it. Right. A coldness and deadness toward the things of God and even human life. Some of those people claim to be Christians. Brother Nate and I talked to one. I'm telling you what, she had all the answers. She had all the answers that you would learn in Sunday school that would lead you to believe that that person was saved. Somebody that doesn't judge righteous judgment, that is. Part of the judge not crowd would just say, well, she's saved. She said it. See how that works? You just have to say it. You don't have to be saved. You just have to say you're saved. Right? You just have to be a hearer of the word, not a doer. Right? America has become an apathetic nation towards abortion. And by the way, so have most Christians become apathetic towards abortion. They really have. Jesus said very plainly that what he thought about human life and even what he thought about children. In Luke 17, verse number 2, it were better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck and he cast into the sea than that he should offend one of these little ones. But you see, today, the other day when we went to that abortion celebration they were having, as we were preaching and talking to others, you could see a total apathy towards the life of the unborn. In most people. And Brother Paul, I'm telling you something, we need those shocking signs. I'll tell you what, I was a little concerned about that in my mind and my heart. I really was. But I'll tell you what, when I got there and I seen the brazen faces and I seen the zombies walking around there laughing and rejoicing at the death of infants, what did it tell me? They need to see it. Yeah, I took it away from them. There was two of them though, so he could have stole the other one from Samuel. But you know what? Once we seen that, that's all I had to see. All I had to do is look at their faces when you seen that, taking pictures with it, laughing and smiling. Totally apathetic to human life. Many of them looked at signs and they laughed and smiled. One man, he was smirking at the security guard. I want you to go to YouTube to our video and you look at, I uploaded a couple of those short videos. They're only 20 seconds, 30 seconds long. I just uploaded so people could see what we see out there. And maybe you won't be so apathetic and soft if you start seeing what it's really like out there. Right. They don't have any clue. I'm telling you something right now. Here's the difference. The reason why the Lord has led me to preach with such power in this pulpit over the last 2 years is because I've been out there in the trenches and I've seen what's going on out there. And it makes for a powerful preacher. And that's why these soft, effeminate Christians today are falsely so-called. They don't like it when you use that word effeminate, do they? Man, they don't like that. They don't like that. I'm going to tell you what, it's like David's men. David's men were just rugged. Go study David's men of war. Go study them, how they were. And then translate that to a spiritual war. That's how you and I are supposed to be. That's how you and I are supposed to be. We're going to look into some of those things in the Old Testament, in the warfare there. And remember, those lessons were written for our admonition. Right? Some of the vulgar signs, some of the shaking of their hands and dancing over the fact that they had the right to do whatever they wanted to. One lady had a sign held up. She said, I shouldn't have to be here. Mm-hmm. Other ladies say, it's my body, it's my choice. Other vulgar terms that I can't use. And they were going to do what they wanted to do. One lady had a pro-life parent sign. Pro-life parent. I'm going to tell you something right now. I shook that lady up a little bit, though. The words that I use, the Lord uses to shake them. Because, see, I know what you're thinking. You think, well, you got to be, like this one guy told me over on the Catholic side, oh, you got to be nice. You got to be nice. Man, these people will eat you. Do you understand that? They will eat you for breakfast. Yeah, that's why he didn't go to the other side. He stayed on the Catholic chanting, weird, walking around in the circle maker, Honey the circle maker circle thing they were doing there. Yeah, and they just, all they did was walk around all day long. So, never mind, I don't have time to get into that right now. But anyway, the point is that you go over there, and they you know what I said to that lady? I looked at her and I said, lady, I wouldn't trust you to watch my dog. I wouldn't trust you with my dog. Well, that's kind of mean. No, it's mean to hold a sign up pro-killing baby sign. That's mean. What I said was just truth. I looked and said, lady, I wouldn't trust you. I said, so let me get this straight. You got a baby and you get to raise your child, right? You have a child. But you're over here promoting death and killing the babies. And she's dancing with her sign and laughing. I'm like, really? So it's okay for you to have your child, but you want to kill everybody else's? I said, you're one pitiful parent, lady. I asked her, how can you say you're a parent and want to allow someone to murder their own child? I'll tell you why. Because of apathy, that's why. Because we in this country, and Christians especially, you tell me what, why wasn't there 100, 200 men out there? Why? Where are the so-called fighting fundamentalists? I'll tell you where they're at. They're up taking pictures with David Gibbs at the Capitol building. David Gibbs. The stinking plant. The one that sold people into a 501c3 movement. The one that sold the Lord's churches in. Sold them out. Made millions doing it too. He's pretty rich. He does all right. What's that? That's right. There, you know, we've got such an effeminate version of Christianity today. These men couldn't say, you think half these pastors that preach on their pulpits, you think half of them would ever even go out there and confront a sinner out there? Man, they'd have a heart attack at some of the things I've heard. I've had people spit in my face, throw coffee at me, everything else. Those guys, I got some holy water thrown on me too. I was praying against it. I said, lady, I rebuke you. I don't want that curse. I don't want any of your curse. Why are you so mad? Well, somebody better get mad. Babies are murdered here. Somebody better get mad. There's babies being murdered here. 4,000 a year. Right? 4,000 a year in St. Paul. Over 4,000 a year. Somebody ought to get mad. How come you ain't mad? You know, America's been so numbed and dumbed down in this country that we don't even know what sin is anymore. And I'm talking about people professing Christ. We don't even have feeling for the unborn anymore. Yeah, you know what I saw the other day? Conscience is seared with a hot iron. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. What did I see out there? Okay. When I see a sign, pro-family, pro-choice, pro-family, pro-faith. When I see a sign out there, what is that? That's this right here. Speaking lies and hypocrisy. Having their conscience seared with a hot iron. Cauterized. No feeling. So what do you have to do? You better wake them up. You got to wake them up. Now, only the Holy Ghost can truly do that, but He'll use you to do it. You got to wake them up. What we see laughed and mocked at. One lady got so mad, this big lesbian. Man, she was a big lesbo, man. She had a big old cowboy hat, and I think Nate made her mad first. It is Nate's fault. He got her all wrong. I ain't leaving, lady. I don't have to leave. I don't have to go anywhere. I'm standing right here. I'm like, yeah, we don't have to. Yeah. We ain't going nowhere. It's better with you. Maybe. No, I have the sign. The sign, Brother Paul. Laminated. The laminated sign with that glass. Was that glass or what is that? Is that plexiglass or whatever it is? Yeah, covered that sign and most of it just hit the sign, man. Oh, get out of here. There's the cops. I'm going to go get you out of here. I go try. I'd love to see that lawsuit. That'd be fun. Go ahead and do it. By the way, I would sue Planned Parenthood. I didn't say I'd make any money off of it, but I sure would sue them. I would. I don't care about the money. I don't care about any of it. But I sure would sue them if they tried to violate our rights. You better believe I would. Bunch of murder mill devils. Yeah. Oh, the cops? So the lady throws that on me and I say, hey, well, I don't know if it was a lady, that it. That big weird thing. With a cowboy hat on. I can't call that a lady. It was like a big weird it. Hey. Like, whoa, okay. Where's Paul at when you need him? Anyways, it was terrible, Paul. It was just bad. Me too. Anyway, so the cops are on horses, right? So they're standing up there. I go, this lady just threw this at me, and he's witness to it. He just went like this, sitting on his horse like this. Are you going to do your job or what? Aaron's like, why don't you just go home? Take your horse and ride out of here. You can't do nothing. Get off your high horse. That's a really big horse, man. Anyway, it's like, come on. No, we were kind. The police were very kind. They were very kind to us. And we had a good rapport with them. Paul cracks me up. Be quiet and get out on the street. I can't help but Paul. That was the funniest part of the day. We're leaving and Paul's yelling at the lineman up there. You need to repent. That cop goes, get out of the street and be quiet. They're trying to do work. I just laughed. I couldn't say anything. I was like, okay, we will. I just, oh, it was funny. Anyway. It was funny because Paul's like looking up there. Hey, you need to repent up there. Yeah. Cop walks by. Get out of the street. Oh, yeah. You know, don't you? You work with them. Oh, anyway, it was. But these people, they're past feeling compassion. We have that today in America. We have absolute apathy. I mean, when you can watch somebody being beaten down in front of your face and you can watch it and you don't do anything about it, you don't say, hey, stop doing that. When you don't do anything about it, what is that? It's absolute apathy. No feeling, no compassion, no emotions towards it. It's like, this is just every day. Like I see this every day on TV. It's no big deal. And you don't stop. Yeah, and they videotape it with their phones, and they're doing it not so they can help somebody, but so they can mock and laugh at it when they're seeing it. Yeah, share with their friends. That's why we have a nation of people that can't, and I'm telling you, it starts with Christian apathy. That's really what it is. Because Christians have just accepted everything as the norm. We've accepted, we're not appalled by abortion anymore, we're not appalled by sin anymore, it's just not that big of a deal anymore. It is apathetic. It's Christian apathy. It's just what it is. There's nothing Christian about it, but that's the best way I can describe it. A lady told me yesterday the other day that claimed to be a Christian that an unborn child has a mass of cells like a mole. Remember that? Yeah. I said, hey, lady, if you let that mole grow, it ain't going to be a baby. Right. She told that, right? It ain't going to turn into a baby. I said, I ain't never seen a mole on somebody's arm turn into a baby yet. Another guy said, I don't even know what a zygote is. He called it a zygote. I don't know. I don't even know what that is. He's like, I'm for zygotes. I'm like, that's great, but that's a baby. I don't care what you're trying to sell. That right there is a baby that is being murdered. Stop playing games. Stop trying to talk about everything and mix fibers and clothing and get around it. You're murdering babies. I'm not going to let you play that game with me. Right there, those are babies being murdered. You're not going to play any games with me. Telling me what you think it is, a mass, a clump of cells. I'm not sure. At least, oh, I'm a Christian, and I've been forgiven by Jesus Christ and all this. But I just think that's a mass, a clump of cells and like a mole. I was like, no, that's not a mole. That's a child. I mean, come on, folks. You gotta be really far gone if you think like a mole on somebody's arm or something is like a baby. I mean, how apathetic have we become? And I'm going to tell you one of the reasons why, and I'll say it again before we're done. One of the reasons why is because Christians, they're too scared to speak anymore. They're so quiet. They're so silent. Ugh. Yeah, 28 weeks they do abortion up to 28 weeks. That look like a clump of cells to you? Come on. It's ridiculous. Then you see men running around dancing like a bunch of effeminate women and singing songs about how democracy is about killing babies. And we, the Christian, are not the majority. I look at them and say, look, you little squirrel. I know we're not the majority. I get it. We've never been the majority. Don't you get it? We know we've never been the majority. People don't like when I say squirrel and fruit and stuff like that. You like squirrel? Except they don't have a tail. So. You like squirrel? Tastes good? Okay. You know, there were three groups there yesterday, the other day. Two were on the same side. And then there was us. But in Satan's mysterious divided kingdom, they are all so deceived, they don't realize they're all on the same team. Man, there is about that much difference in those in that Catholic Protestant and pro-abortion side. Guess who both of them hated? Us. They both hated us. Why? Because we were preaching. You know, the Bible doesn't say run around and chant in a circle. What does it say? It says that the power of God is the gospel. Amen? That the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. But unto us, it is the power of God unto salvation. That's what it is. It's the power of God. You know, let me say this again. Like I said, I thought maybe that sign would be too rough, but you can't make it rough enough. Honestly, at an event, I don't think you could say anything that would go too far to their conscience because it's so seared. But there could be some people there that are still listening, and there were. And take the professing churches in America today, and they're even worse. And they are the reason we have so much apathy in America, because churches did not practice separation. Guess what happened? The world, the church mingled, and you can't tell the difference between the two. You couldn't tell the difference between those two groups over there. Both were playing music. Some were walking around with a wooden cross, and people were bowing down to it. So when they bowed down, they're all kneeling at this wooden cross. I was like, that's idolatry. You're not supposed to bow down to graven images. And then Nate got up and preached. You can see a little bit of his preaching. And then I yelled out the Pope is Antichrist before I left a few times. And they all like looked. Thought it was Nate. I ducked and they thought it was Nate. Some Catholic guy pushes Nate from behind. And then he lied about it and said he didn't do it. Yeah. Wicked man. You know, these soft-spoken Catholic and Lutheran men in their long robes walking around like a bunch of sissies. Now, we know that we have to do things a certain way, and that we have to, and that's how he's talking on that microphone. Yeah, they were probably there. Yeah, they were probably there. But they're so soft-spoken, lost men, just reprobate to the faith, many of them got mad. Well, listen, I understand, but just the way you're doing it is just totally wrong. I told one guy, I got a perfect idea. Why don't you show me how to do it right now? Go ahead. You just show me the right way to do this. Well, I mean, this isn't the right place for it. What do you mean? I said you got thousands of lost Catholics here. This is the best place to do it. Go ahead. You said you could evangelize Catholics better than me. Do it. Now's your chance. They're all over the place. Well. That's what I thought. See, I like the way I'm doing it wrong better than you're not doing it at all. Okay? Because you're not going to do it. That's what you're telling me. You're telling me there's never a time to do it. That's what that says. Because if it ain't the time to do it when there's a thousand of them running around, it will never be the time to do it. Yeah, that guy pushed Nate actually twice. The cops, they didn't care one bit. He did, the sergeant didn't see it, so he couldn't do anything, but he did say, all right, you guys, we're going to be peaceful here, and we're going to honor each other's face and everything. We're not going to, you know. I was like, well, we don't have the problem. We haven't put our hands on anybody. We aren't the ones putting our hands on people. We don't do that. Yeah. Yeah. Roman Catholics, yeah. I looked that guy straight in the eye when he did that to Nate. I said, I rebuke you in the name of Jesus Christ. We got a wicked devil in you, don't you? You know, I said, you know what your problem is? You're mad because you haven't shaken me one bit. You keep looking straight at me, but you ain't shaking me and moved me one bit. Because I know who's in me, and I know he'll protect me from what's in you. But you're so angry. Somebody better be. Somebody better be angry. Babies are murdered there, right? That's right. I said, I have a righteous anger. And I'll tell you one thing. When you're dealing with a bunch of religious Pharisees that already think they're saved, when you're dealing with people that are mad devil-possessed people, you got to ramp it up a little bit. Number two, we've got an apathy towards the sodomite agenda in America. Listen to this. The Southern Baptist Convention is having a dialogue with sodomites. Southern Baptists took their first steps towards their eventual acceptance of same-sex marriage by meeting with members of the LGBT community at the Ethics and Religious Liberty Commission 2014 conference in Nashville. While neither side relinquished their position, most in attendance agreed that a shift had indeed taken place. Nashville, Tennessee. Albert Mohler. How about him? Old Albert. You know who Albert Mohler is? Anybody know who he is? Yeah. He's on sermon audio sometimes, Albert Mohler. Yeah. A gathering of Southern Baptists were opened this week, this was a year ago, with Albert Mohler, stalwart head of the Southern Baptist Theological Seminary, apologizing for denying the reality of sexual orientation. What does that even mean? I'm apologizing. Why would you apologize? I wouldn't. What is it? It's called sin. It's called wicked. It's called disgusting. But he says orientation can change. That word orientation, do you understand what he's saying? Sounds like to me he's saying they're born that way. They've been ordained to be that way. That's what it sounds like he's saying. It closed with the pastor saying, no one goes to hell for being a homosexual. Well, that's not true. They do too. But why does this man think this? Because he fell for the Jack Hiles, Curtis Hudson move of fundamentalism that went over that taught that you don't go to hell because of sins. You go to hell because of unbelief. Well, let me help you, brainiacs, with something. Unbelief is a sin. It's a subset of sin. What does that even mean? A subset of sin. Where do you find in the Bible a subset of sin? I've never had a subset of sin, but I've had a whole lot of sin in my life. Lord Jesus, I'm sorry, but that's a subset of sin. So when they died in the wilderness, you know, for their murmuring and complaining, Lord, that's a subset of sin. That's not really sin. Well, I'm going to kill you just the same for it. You go to hell because of sin. You go to hell because you're a sinner. And you go to hell because you commit sin against God. That's why Jesus came to save his people from their sins. He didn't come to save them from their unbelief, because that's all one package. It's all sin. See, people don't know what they're saved from. They don't get it. Anyway, it closes the pastor saying, no one goes to hell for being a homosexual. But he added, Christians must remind gay friends, I don't have any of those. I don't have any of those. I don't have anyone that I can remind of that. I don't know what you guys are doing hanging around with those guys. Okay? It's like that one guy told me a couple weeks ago, hey, you need to help. When's the last time you helped a homosexual couple move into their apartment? Never. And I'm not going to either. Right? We actually had that discussion. But you guys, somebody taught you wrong, Brother Cooley. Somebody taught you. Well, I don't like what they taught you. They taught you to hang around with homosexuals. Okay, I'm not doing that. I'm not doing that. Wow. But he added, Christians must remind gay friends and family members that the day of judgment is coming. See, that's a Jesuit forked tongue. You see how that works? By the way, who else has this same message? Brother Nate, who else has this same message? That's right. Who else has the same message? We have the Pope, we have the Southern Baptist Convention, and who else? The Charismatic Movement. They're all saying the same thing. What are they doing? Just what I told you they were doing a few months ago. They're closing in on us. We are going to be the ones they go after. And they're all going to come after us. That's what they're doing. The Pope is pulled back he's pulling back openly now. He always had a closed policy. Because Jesuits always have a closed policy. Okay, a private policy, a secret one. Okay, that they supported sodomites. I mean, there's no question about it. Most priests are fruity. I mean, that's just all there's to it. But that's right. They are. They're a bunch of pedophiles, what they are. And they're a haven for pedophilia. Thank you. Anyway, so that we already knew that. Well, now openly he's saying, well, you know, we got to have a dialogue. We got to talk. We got to do this. What is he saying? I'm not going to fund this anymore. I'm done funding this. So now we're going to lift off all that, and the only people left that are going to be fighting it, you guessed it, the end times remnant, you guessed it. That's it. You better wake up. That's what's going on. There's not going to be any cover with these people. They're not going to help you. They'll be the ones that throw you into prison. Wake up. That's what's happening. Better believe it. Because all of them are agents, these high-level people. They're Masons. The Southern Baptist Convention is full of the Masonic Order. The Masonic Order, for some reason, they got a sick fascination with sodomy. Well, we know because their father's the devil. But anyway, the statements from the largest and one of the most conservative Protestant denominations made waves in the religious and gay communities. Some praised the Southern Baptist Convention for softening its tone and message when discussing homosexuals. Yeah, they are Protestant. They're not Baptists. That Southern Baptist Convention has long since been anything to do with Baptists. Let's just be honest. That's right. They need to call themselves the Southern Protestants. Anyway. They said that thank you for softening your message. If you ever thank me for softening my message, somebody please smack me really hard, okay? Thank you, Pastor, for softening your message. And you're supposed to be happy about that? You're supposed to think that's a good thing? You got the world and a bunch of sodomites saying, hey, we're so glad you softened your message. Brother Paul, I would definitely know I was doing it wrong if they told me that. I'd be like, okay, there's something wrong. All right, because they just told me, thank you for your soft message. Wow, okay. I'm sure I'm making all kinds of people mad today. But others who attended, some critics complained that nothing really has changed. Well, it's not enough. Nothing really changed. But others who attended said a shift was taking place. Listen to this. Listen. In private meetings and one-on-one encounters during the week, Southern Baptist and gay rights advocates said they established relationships they hope will carry both sides through a time of deep cultural change. I know, Aaron. I know. That's what I was thinking, too. Aaron's got his mouth open. He's like, what? Yeah, they just admitted to you, well, in secret, we have another policy. Did you hear it? Can you hear Rome? Can you hear it? Mm-hmm. That's where it is. All at the same time, all coming together at the same time. I'm telling you folks, the fix is in. You better wake up. You better wake up. The only safe place of understanding is going to be a local, independent Baptist church. Independent. Not connected to anything else. Local authority. So if the pastor turns out to be a bum, they can throw him out. They hope they will carry both sides through a deep time of deep cultural change, particularly as the church navigates issues such as increasing acceptance of same-sex marriage. Let me tell you something, how I'm going to navigate this, okay? we're going to navigate ourselves straight to this book, and we're not going to move. And if you don't like it, don't come here. I'm not going to tell your sodomite friends they're going to heaven. I'm not going to make it comfortable for them. They're going to hate this place. They're going to hate this church. They're going to hate the message of this church. And we're going to be out there in their face whenever we can be, preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ, reproving their wicked works of darkness, and shining the light on their evil as much as we possibly can by the grace of Almighty God until we lose our heads. Amen. Mr. Moeller, this week, met with Matthew Vines, an openly gay Christian author. By the way, there's no such thing. Let me go on record to say there's no such thing as a gay Christian author. He's an author, and he's a sodomite, but he's not a Christian, who argues the Bible doesn't prohibit lifelong same-sex marriage. Yeah, well, you see, God just wants you to stay in one relationship, so it's okay if you do that. I mean, he made him Adam and Eve. I mean, that's how he made him. He already showed you what he wanted. People say Jesus didn't preach on sodomy. Yes, he did. He restated the original principle. What was that? One man, one woman. What else did he have to say? I'm sure they did. Male temple prostitutes. They call them male temple prostitutes? Wow. That's sad. Mr. Moeller wrote a response to Mr. Vine's book, God and the Gay Christian. It was a gracious, honest conversation. I think all evangelical Christians are having to learn anew how to discuss these issues, Mr. Moeller said. Yeah, I got a great way to discuss it. Here's how it is. Listen to my series on sodomites, okay? Listen to us when we go out to that Happy Pride Day and we go preach against that stuff. Listen to our message very closely. By God's grace, we will not compromise. We will tell you how stinking, disgusting, wicked, rotten, vile, and putrid you are to God. Amen. And He is going to burn you in hell for all of eternity if you do not repent of your wicked sins. I have nothing else to speak to you, but repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out. Because this is one man that is not apathetic towards your perversion. Because your perversion is recruiting children, pedophiles. That's what you're doing. You rape children. That's what you do. So, let me get this. So you have this on record. Yes, Pastor Cooley definitely believes sodomites recruit and rape children. Thank you. I see no distinction between you and a pedophile. You are the exact same. And you were probably unfortunately recruited the same way. Because there are devils and witches out there that do that. Just so we're not confused. I always like to speak plainly, Brother Paul, so people understand. Was that clear? I hope it was. I don't want to have a gracious and honest conversation. I want to preach to you. God doesn't tell me to have a conversation with you about how I'm going to soft sell and accept sodomy or the sodomite lifestyle. Okay? There is no acceptance of it. You're going to burn in hell. Just like I would tell the fornicator, I don't need a dialogue with you. You need to repent and be converted that your sins may be blotted out. I don't have to have a dialogue with you. And no, if you're going to live in sin, you are not welcome in this church. Amen. Let me say that again. If you're going to live in sin, you are not welcome in this church. I hope you men understand that. If you're going to live a fornicating lifestyle, no, I don't have a dialogue with you. You can't be here. What if they're learning? Well, they need to learn somewhere else then, because we hold things to the book. And my Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 5 that they're not to be here. Nor a railer, nor an extortioner. Amen. So the Bible says. The pair agreed to keep in touch over email and alert each other if one ever felt wrongly portrayed by the other. I mean, gag me with a spoon, seriously. If you feel I've hurt your feelings, please send me an email and let me know. Come on, really? If I've wrongly misrepresented you. Oh, See what I mean? Apathy. See that? Just. So Mr. Vines, the gay Christian writer, says this. This was an amazing event. I bet. Said Mr. Vines, not for the public sessions, but for the private meetings. I don't want to think too deep into that, so I'm going to keep moving. Okay? I know. Because the Pope has the private meetings with the transgenders, too. We had a private meeting, and we will not discuss the devil's daughter. Go see that Pope watch. Right? We did a Pope watch on that. Yeah. Go see the devil's daughter. It was great. Not for the public sessions, but for the private meetings. Okay. Yeah. It's not like anyone is suddenly pro-gay, said Mr. Vines. But he added, it feels like a new era. New age? Novus Ordo Seclorum? A new order? What is this, though? What are we talking about? Apathy, complacency, ease in Zion, no desire to draw spiritual blood. What's the Bible say? Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves of mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. You know what I had somebody tell me? Now you don't understand. That's talking about your inheritance. That's not salvation. He's just talking about your inheritance. That's not part of it, yeah. Really, you better wake up because God's very serious about this. That was a Baptist, yeah, that said that. Sort of. He believes in the universal church, so I mean, it's not really a Baptist, right? Listen, we don't need a dialogue. You're in your sin. You need to repent of your wicked, disgusting, fornicating, without natural affection, lifestyle of death and hell and be born again. I have nothing else to say to you. I'm not going to dialogue. I'm going to preach to you. But I'm not going to dial. We need to sit down and discuss this. Why? There's no room for me to move. Who compromised here? Albert Mohler. He was the only one that compromised. That sodomite didn't compromise one thing. When somebody asks you to compromise a stand for the Lord, you're the one that compromised. When they want to have a dialogue with you, you're the one that's supposed to concede. Evil doesn't concede. Righteousness will concede in that sense. The one that's doing things right is the one that has to move the way of darkness. But darkness never moves towards the light. Why? Because it'll be manifested as evil. That's why. It hates the light. What do we have? We have apathy. Well, society has evolved and we have to accept that now as the normal life. No, it's not normal. The Bible says it's a sin against nature. There's absolutely nothing normal about that. Normal is nature. Amen? American Christians, what do they say? Ah, no big deal. Number four, and I got to hurry, man. I'm keeping you late here, but that's okay. You don't have anything better to do today anyway. All right, American, you don't have any Easter bunnies to go chase down or any caramel eggs to eat or any Cadbury? Cadbury. You have Cadbury eggs? You better brought me a caramel one or you're not leaving this place. I'll tell you that right now. I was gonna preach a message on Easter and call it kill the rabbit. Nate suggested kill the wabbit. So I'll do that sometime in the future. Preach a message called Kill the Wabbit. Okay? That's right. And I'll have him put a picture of Elmer Fudd on the YouTube. Bugs Bunny. Just have a Bugs Bunny and Aleister Crowley and it'll get like... Yeah, he probably did say that. Then it'll get a bunch of hits if you just had Crowley's name to... What's that? Oh, don't get me started on cartoons. I'm preaching on apathy. Bugs Bunny exposed. It'll be right next to the video, Jason Cooley, exposed. Exposed for what? What I do? You believe a gospel changes people. You rotten preacher, you. All right, number four, American apathy toward fornication in a sexualized society. We have so much apathy and numbness toward fornication today in America. Hey, people get mad at me for preaching against it. That guy can't go half an hour without preaching that stuff. What's the matter with that guy? He needs to quit preaching that stuff. He must have a problem. Yeah, I got a problem. You love fornication too much. And God sent me to preach on it till you stop. And you know what? When I'll stop preaching on fornication, when it all ends in America. When little girls aren't sold into sexual trafficking. When they don't snatch little girls from their homes. When we don't have any more strip clubs. When we don't have any pornography everywhere. When guys aren't watching pornography on their cell phones. When all that stuff is over, I'll stop preaching on it. Guess when that's going to be? When Jesus comes back.
Amen.
So buck up, Sally, and listen to it.
Right.
I did say Sally. I'm a little fired up today. Man, Nate, what's in that tincture? Listen to me. I was feeling so down yesterday, and the Lord just revived my spirit last night after I had some sleep. I was so down yesterday. I mean, just so vexed, and man, my body just wasn't feeling good, and it was bad. It was rough. I was feeling bad. I couldn't concentrate. Couldn't think. I was like, Lord, I don't even see how any of this is going to make sense to anybody today. Because I'm just I can't concentrate. I can't think. And the Lord just did what always does. Amen. He gives His grace. People actually get mad at preachers for preaching against it. And you say, well, that must mean they're not apathetic. Oh, yes, they are. Because they don't think it's a big deal in America. That one out of every four searches on the internet is pornography. They don't care. Oh, big deal. No big deal. So they get mad when you preach against fornication or pornography or promiscuity or anything else. Because it's not that big of a deal. It's a huge deal and it's getting bigger. And children are being sold into sex trafficking at younger ages. Dads, keep an eye on your daughters. Don't send them out. Don't trust them. Don't trust them to the world. Don't trust them to people. You keep an eye on your children and your boys. They like to kidnap boys, too. There's people that want to defile your children right now. Oh, you're just trying to scare people. You bet I am. Wake up. You better be scared. It's a wicked world. Yeah, they got lobbies in Congress. NAMBA. Oh, we're going to talk about NAMBA when we do the history of pornography. From the radio show. No, they're not hiding nothing. They're in your face. But I know. You expect me to be like that nice little Lutheran minister that doesn't offend anybody. Well, I'm sorry. You picked the wrong YouTube channel. Better change it. I had some guy get on there and go, you know what? He goes, man, I love watching you. You're crazy. I don't even believe in God. he goes, what do you say? Crazy is entertaining though, man. I gotta keep watching you. I don't know. I can't. You keep watching. You're gonna get saved.
Amen.
Keep watching. You're gonna get saved. You keep looking. You keep listening. God's gonna deal with your heart. Amen. I say, oh, it's not that big of a deal though, right? You know, men were polled and their responses would shock you as to what they believe. Children are losing their virginity at younger ages today than ever before. And the emotional and mental scars of that, it's just devastating. It's absolutely devastating. One guy basically said, well, if she's old enough to have her cycle, then she's old enough to fornicate with. I won't use the slang term they use because it's too vulgar, but that's what he said. Are you getting this? This is where we're at. And you tell me to be quiet. No, you be quiet. Yeah, it's already setting up for that. The pedophilia laws are being pushed right now to end, just like they ended with pornography. Just like they ended those laws off Kinsey's reports. They're going to do the same thing with pedophilia. They're doing it now. They're working on it. You tell me to back off. I'm not apathetic. I'm not backing off. Why don't you get right with God? We have an over-sexualized, numb society. America's apathy towards the way girls dress is just, it's unbelievable. They're so apathetic to the way girls dress. They don't even care anymore. It's like it's no big deal. These girls that I've seen these are like 12 and 13 year old girls walking around with their bodies hanging out. Cover yourself! What kind of a man are you if you're a father? Let your daughter go out with her body exposed. Let me tell you something. You're not a man. You're not a man at all. If you ain't man enough to teach your daughter how to dress, you're not a man. You're a stinking coward. And you know what? If you're a mother, let your daughter dress like a whore. Well, she's learning it from watching you. If that's too sharp for you, good. Rewind it and listen to it again. I'm not apathetic towards it. See, I know what it leads to because I got into all that stuff. You say, you must have a problem. No, I had a problem. And I got saved by God's grace out of that sin. I don't have that problem anymore. Amen. By God's grace. Dressing their daughters like that. Why? Because of American apathy. They don't even care anymore. Their daughters are being used as objects for men's lust. That's all they are. When these boys. You know what's the most frightening thing I've ever seen in my life? A young girl walking around, a 13, 14 year old walking around with two boys. Just walking around by themselves, just walking around. Are you nuts? First of all, what are you letting your son go walk around and hang out with a bunch of girls for? And then, second of all, why would you let your daughter leave anyway? You don't know what she's doing, running around. You don't have any clue what she's doing. Let me tell you something. You young girls out there, you think you got it figured out and you won't get hurt. But let me tell you something. Men are a bunch of deceptive, wicked dogs. And they only think about one thing, and that's destroying your purity. They don't love you. They don't care about you. They don't care what happens to you. They just as soon see you die in a ditch somewhere as long as they fulfill their lustful desires. That's what they care about. Stay home. Stay in the castle. We have apathetic men today. Oh, they just let their daughters go running around. So it's normal. No, it's not normal. It's not normal at all. We have so much promiscuity being taught. It's taught in schools. It's pure apathy. Man, I gotta get going. I'm almost done, sort of. Oh man, I'm really not. Okay, I'll tell you what I'm gonna do. Paul's clearing his throat. That means I gotta stop. No, I'm just kidding. All right, let's stop this right here, okay? And we'll put it all together in one file, obviously, again, and then we'll pick it up in the afternoon, okay? Let's do that. Father, Lord, we thank you for this day, and Lord, we thank you for this time, and Lord, I pray it wakes some people up. Father, help us. The apathy is so strong in America, just a cold among Christians, just no feelings, cold. Help us, Lord Jesus. Bless the time we have in fellowship and bless the food to our bodies. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Anyway, so the next we want to cover here is apathy toward blood and violence. We have Christian apathy today towards blood and violence and war and death. Just all of it. Blood and violence and war and death. This death culture that America has. We export more death around the world than any nation ever. I mean, we are definitely, I challenge you to go back. You might want to turn me down just a little bit, bro. This is a little loud for these guys. If you go back and study Babylon, you study Nimrod's kingdom, and you study those kingdoms, Nebuchadnezzar's kingdom, and all these kingdoms, if you start to study them, what you're going to come up with and you're going to find is that the wickedness that was exported, the witchcraft, the war, the violence, the death, the destruction, you're looking at it right here in America today. Spiritually, we are the arm of Babylon. We are part of that colossus. We are part of it, if not the. Amen. But we know that Rome is the mother of all harlots. But we understand that it's forming together, and we are the military arm of Rome. I mean, we just are. So, but what are we seeing here? We're seeing a numbness. We see an absolute apathy today. How does it start? Just dumbing you down to sin. Numbing you to sin. making it so you don't feel anything by showing it. When you show graphic images to children at a young age, and you continue to show that to them as they grow up, and they grow up, playing games about theft and watching movies about murdering people and theft. And I mean, come on, you've got so many Christians today. You know what's more popular than anything? Reality TV. Hey, I got a reality for you. Why don't you go out and live? How about you do that, huh? How about you shut that stupid box off and you go out and live? Instead of watching movies about people living, why don't you go live? Right? But what happens? You're so dumbed down to it today. Okay, we're so numb to it today. We've been desensitized to it. We have an apathy towards it. So guess what? There's an apathy towards blood and violence today. It's not shocking for people anymore. It's not shocking for them to see people dying or to see people abused or beaten. Right? They're not outraged any longer for those things. Kids think it's normal. They think it's like everyday thing. It's no big deal, whatever. It happens. Why? Because we have a death culture. Why do you think they don't care for the unborn? Why do you think most kids, kids are growing up not to care? Well, first of all, they're told that, well, it's not really life. It's not really alive. It's not really, it's just a clump of cells, right? You cannot place wicked images and unclean things before your eyes and not have them affect you in a negative way. We've talked about this over and over again. You cannot continually to pump that stuff through to your mind and in your head and what that's going to do to somebody. And when you do it to someone at a young age, when they're at a young age and they grow up with that stuff. Hey, I grew up watching some pretty graphic things and seeing some pretty graphic images. And that affected me. It still affects me to this day. And it will affect you all your life. Why do you think people that go to war and what it affects them, the things that they've seen over there? Man, I met a guy a few weeks ago. It was me and Luke. No, Brother Ryan. You and I, we were over there. Remember that? And that guy, that Marine, he goes, yeah, I'm going back over there to kill me some more of them. I got me four of them last time. I'm going to go get some more. I'm going back over there. And he hated what I was preaching. Why did he hate it? Because he sees us as a religious fanatic like those guys. And that's what you're creating in this culture. Why? Because of Christian apathy. That's why. Stop blaming it on Obama and everyone else. You made Obama. You created Obama. When you let him run under a Christian label, you created him. And not one of those politicians out there, nobody called him out and said, you're a fake, phony Christian. These politicians are all phony. They're just a bunch of phony people. They don't care nothing about you. There's no hope in this system. Hope is in Jesus Christ. There's no hope in these people. Trust not in the arm of a prince. Don't trust in these princes. They'll do nothing for you. They're a bunch of liars. I watch people try to lobby, beg, borrow, and steal for these people. I'm not giving you anything. I don't want anything to do with you because you don't even have the answers. You're just full of apathy. You've given into the homosexual lobby. You've given into everything. You're owned by them already. It's ridiculous. And you have all these you have these politicians, these people. Oh, well, we don't like violence. They're like, well, really? Well, why do you allow it to be mass produced? And then you raise up soldiers and send them off to war. You start these kids at a young age thinking that war is good. So you recruit them and you go to their high schools and you tell them, man, one of the saddest things I ever seen was an independent fundamental Baptist a few weeks ago. Somebody that I served in ministry with. And I'm looking over and they're showing the swearing in ceremony for their daughter. And they're excited about it, that their daughter is swearing in to go into the Air Force. And they're absolutely excited about it. I'm thinking, why would you send your daughter off to be around a bunch of perverts, first of all? Do you really think those people are perverts? Oh, I don't think. I know they are. Amen. That girl's nothing but dog meat to them. Right. I'll tell you what. Christians today seem like they just got slapped with a stupid stick. Because, right. I mean, you got to be absolutely foolish to send your daughter off to the military. Well, you got to be foolish to send your son off there too, but I mean, you really got to have rocks in your heads to send your daughter off to the military. Oh, why? They'll be safe. I trust them. They've been raised right. Oh. Yeah. Well, let me tell you something, okay? Let me tell you what a lot of guys do. You want me to tell you what they do? Here's what they do. Okay, a lot of guys look for those girls, and those girls are trophies to steal their virginity. They're trophies. They're a mark on the wall. They're like getting a gold medal. What do you have? A bunch of Christian apathy. That's what you have. Oh no, everything. It's no big deal. Oh, they're going to fight for our country. How are you fighting for your country over in Iraq or Afghanistan? Or your country's not. You know, I'm not very good at geography. Okay, I'm really bad at it. I mean, everybody that knows me knows I'm really bad at geography. But I know one thing. I know this is America, and I know that's not.
Amen.
So how are you defending me when you're over there?
Right.
Seems logical. What do we have? Absolute apathy. That's why you have kids that are past feeling. You talk to some of these. I've talked to some of these guys, these soldiers. I had one that, me and Paul had one that was so mad one day. He looked like a mind control subject. He acted like one too. Came up and jumped all over Paul and man, he wanted to go, man. He wanted to fight. Why? Because he's preaching the gospel. And these guys are so dead. Man, God wasn't anywhere when I was killing those guys over there. What is that? Total apathy. By the way, they'll turn on you too. They'll slit your throat in a second. Don't think they won't. I know, this is a little real, isn't it? A little raw, a little real, isn't it? Mm-hmm. Yeah, then you're going to hold up that sign, support the troops? How about, are you supporting the troops now that they're in Texas and they're doing drills to snatch people off the streets and take them away and snatch them off the streets and see, they want to see if there's a public outcry, if anybody's going to do anything, and they chose Texas because that's one state they believe they'll have a problem with? What's that? Yeah. Jade Helm, is that what it's called? That's the operation? Yeah. They just want to see if anybody's going to care. Oh, don't worry. They're so apathetic, they won't. They're too busy watching television, looking for a football game. They're too busy with that kind of thing. They're too busy fornicating and running around chasing after women and living like the devil to even pay attention to what's going on right there. Totally apathetic to it. That's right. They're numbed and dumbed down. People don't like this kind of preaching, do they? It really makes them mad. A lot of them don't, do they? Makes them mad, don't they? That's where we're at right now. And it's Christian apathy. You want to find out what's wrong with America? Just take a good look at the average church. You'll see what's wrong with America. Okay? I'm sorry. Just take a good look at the average Baptist church. And then you'll see what's wrong with America. Just walk in there. I mean, we already know most of the other ones have all apostated by now. We get it, okay? But lest somebody think I don't pick on the Baptists, I do pick on them more than anybody. Because they're the ones that claim to have all the truth.
Right.
But what do we have? Complete apathy. I'll give you another area we have complete apathy in. People don't even care anymore. Separation of church and state.
Yep.
501c3, church being free. Just complete apathy. Oh, it's no big deal. I mean, when they start enforcing it, then I'll do something. No, you won't. No, you won't. You'll fold like an accordion. That's what you'll do. You sissy. You're going to run away and hide and cry to save your millions. That's what you're going to do. You're not going to do anything. Right. You want to save your property. You want to save your face. You don't want to lose anything. You're not going to do anything. Why? Because you're apathetic. Your past feeling, it doesn't matter to you anymore. When Christians stop caring what the Bible says, commands, and tells you, they've already become apathetic. So whatever else happens, they're just going to fall for. Used to be that fathers kept an eye on their daughters. All those things in America, it's not there anymore. Why? Because Christians have already conceded all these things. They've already conceded. Hey, they've already conceded that the world has the right method. Don't believe me? Oh, yeah, they have. Why? Because they do the same thing the world does. They send their daughters off when they turn 18 like a magic robot. They send them right off to college somewhere. They send them off for somebody else to take care of. Well, you better get taking care of yourself. You better get doing things for yourself. Why? Well, because because the United States government says 18, you can do whatever you want. So, hey, you can do whatever you want. So your parenting ends when your daughter turns 18 or your son turns 18? Yep. Why? Who says? What Bible verse is that? What Bible verse says you're supposed to send your daughter off? Oh, there isn't one. Oh, yeah, that's right. So where'd you get it from? You got it from the world. So you wonder why don't you think anybody takes the churches seriously anymore when they talk about the family? Because the churches don't believe it either. That's why. So because the church became apathetic towards the family and the home, and they have no holy zeal anymore and righteousness for their own home, neither does America. Neither does this country. Because they stopped caring about faith. The church stopped caring a long time ago. They became apathetic towards marriage. Now, whatever, it doesn't matter. No big deal. They became apathetic. There's no more church discipline anymore in churches. They don't even know what that is anymore. Man, I've talked to people online about church discipline. They think I'm crazy. What do you mean church discipline? What's that? Sounds kind of weird. Church discipline anyway. What's the matter with you? You guys are weird. It's a really big scam. We don't. What's church? What? So what happened? Doesn't matter anymore, anybody. They accompany with fornicators. The church is no different, and adulterers and everything else, and witches, and the church is no different. No, right, back to the Bible, back to the jungle. That's right. There's no difference. There's just no difference any longer. Yeah, Aaron was in a church and they refused to tell witches to leave. Known witches in the church, they refused to tell them to leave. Knew what they were doing. Yeah, exactly. They might hear the gospel. No, they're there to infiltrate. I don't think you get it. By the way, we've had people try to do that here. Then they just go away. That's right. You don't keep rats around. You get rid of them. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you chase out the wolves. Amen. So we wonder, what's the answer then for it? We look around at our country. What do we think? Is the answer going to be a politician? How are we going to fix America? What are we going to do? Are we going to fix it? We're going to fix it with, Ron Paul or Rand Paul or any of these other politicians, right? Or Ted Cruz. It's going to be Ted Cruz, right? Never mind, his wife's a member of the CFR, right? That doesn't matter. That's not going to do anything, is it? No. Council on Foreign Relations? Nah, that won't. Yeah, who's it going to be? What are they going to do? Is the politician going to fix it? No, I'll tell you what's going to. The only thing that can fix Christian apathy is number one, hard preaching. Mm-hmm. You've got to preach. You've got to preach and you've got to teach, and you can't pull any punches. You got to quit. You got to quit worrying about people's feelings more than you do about getting the truth to them. Because if they're saved, they're going to respond to truth. Amen. That's right. They write me all. They do write all the time and tell us they respond. Man, I heard that. That was really. Whew, it's hard listening to you sometimes, Brother Cooley. I said. That's right. Aaron was mad at me for a long time. But it's hard to listen to you sometimes. I know it's hard for me to listen to me sometimes. When Christ dealt with the religious Pharisees of the day, he spoke sharply and boldly, didn't he? You hear a street preacher say that. He goes, "You don't understand, Brother Cooley. They're all religious Pharisees when you're dealing with them on the street." And I didn't get that. I thought, nah, come on, whatever. You just don't know what you're talking about. Man, as soon as I get out there 2 years later, I'm telling you what, that man was right. Everybody knows the Bible better than you, but they're not living it. They don't care about what God says. They try to. This guy that doesn't even believe in God pulled out a Bible app on his phone and was trying to preach to me the Bible. Yeah. Defending abortion. That's what you call using the Word of God deceitfully. Right? When he spoke to religious Israel, he spoke sharp. When John the Baptist did, he spoke very sharp, didn't he? Matthew chapter 3, verse number 1, in those days came John the Baptist preaching in the wilderness of Judea and saying, "Repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." For this is he that spoke, that was spoken of by the prophet Isaiah, saying, "The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his path straight." And the same John had his raiment of camel's hair and the leathern girdle about his loins, and his meat was locusts and wild honey. He was like Nate. He liked that wild honey. About that. You eat any locusts yet, Nate? All right, you're working on that one still. Paul will eat those for you. Paul's your mate right there in that. I watched him eat bugs over at Brother Russ's house one day. He just kept eating bugs. Worms. Was it worms? He was eating worms. Green worms. The effect of what it did to Lee was worth it all. The face that Lee gave was worth it all to see that. It really was. He made you squirm like that worm is what he did. Then went out to him Jerusalem and all Judea and all the region round about Jordan and were baptized of him in Jordan, confessing their sins. How about that? That was work salvation right there. It doesn't matter to them. They weren't supposed to be sorry about their sins. It's a matter of them. But when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees come to the baptism, he said unto them, "O generation of vipers, who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bring forth therefore fruits meet for repentance. And think not to say within yourselves, we have Abraham to our father. For I say unto you that God is able of these stones to raise up children unto Abraham." What's this mean right here? Same thing it means in America today. We've got so much Christian apathy. Why? Because these kids say, "Well, my mom and dad grew up and I grew up in a church and I grew up in the church doing right and everything. And I didn't do this and I'm doing that now." And that is not going to save you. What happens? An apathy grows sometimes, doesn't it? So they become apathetic to the truth. Why? Because they've never been changed, some of them, by the gospel of Jesus Christ. They've never been snatched from death into life, ever. When you've never been changed, it doesn't matter to you. But then you become hardened to the deceitfulness of sin. Some Christians even become hardened through sin. And they become apathetic towards things. See, what you want, what most people want today is fluffy and nice like preaching. Like people told me yesterday on the Catholic side, lady throwing holy water on me. Had a little picture of Mary on it, or was supposed to be Mary. I told them it was Isis. That lady's like, "It's not working. They're not stopping. You better get a refund, lady. We should have drank it." And then you went, that's terrible. I'm not supposed to vocalize all those thoughts that go through my head, but sometimes I do. Oh, man. They were throwing holy water and everything else. It was sad. Trying to cross. They're doing, what do you call that thing they do? That thing? Sign of the cross, is that what it is? Sign of Zorro or something? Is that... This thing, what's this thing they do? You know. Who is Catholic here? Oh, is that what it is? Okay, it's a sign. They do this thing. I'm not going to do it, but anyway. That's what they say it is. That's what they say. But, yeah, anyway, scary. But, so they were doing that, and they were trying to pray. "We'll pray for you." I said, I don't want you to pray to your God for me. I don't want you to do that. No. But these people are lost. Then you have the abortion people saying they're pro-faith, pro-family, perverting the ways of the Lord. You want to preach sweet little nothings in their ears? Some of these guys that are critics, what are you going to do? Go tell them God loves you and has a wonderful plan for your life? They want to kill babies. Don't you get it? Yeah, but you guys are just too harsh and too... You're just too hard. You're just too mean. I said, how am I mean? You want to kill babies. I want to save their lives. Which one's mean? But you're not going to reach people like this. You need to do it with love. I said, love is our motivation, not our message. Did you know that? Read that note Brother Ickes wrote on that. I'll send it to you. He says, love is our motivation, not our message. Our message is, except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. Yeah. Love's the motivation. That's why we're here in the first place. You think it's fun to go hang out in an abortion clinic? Talk to a bunch of screaming Jezebels? Let me ask you a question. How apathetic would you be when you saw your child running into the street? Oh, no big deal. Hey, kid, stop that. Don't do that, son. Oh, don't do that. Here comes the bus. Watch out, there's a semi right there. We all make choices in life. Yeah. I'm not going to impede on his free will, right? Let's let him go. No, you would yell, wouldn't you? Stop! Just like if you were going into a burning building, what would you do? That's right. You would yell stop, wouldn't you? Don't go in there, right? You'd scream. The problem is there's no passion today, no zeal, and no men. Bunch of sorry excuse for men with no zeal and more fear of man that brings a snare. I've heard preachers tell me, well, I couldn't do what you do out there. Why couldn't you? Yes, you could. If you're called by God, you can. Amen? If you're saved, if you're a Christian, you don't have to, you may not be the preacher all the time. But you could sure go with and hand out some tracts. You could sure answer some questions. You could sure stand in front of the preacher. You could sure pray. Not everybody's going to preach, but there's a whole lot more going on than just preaching there. Ask Brother Ryan. He's handing out thousands of tracts and talking to people all the time. Right? Holding the sign and talking to people all the time. Not everybody has to preach. We need some people to stick by the stuff. Amen? We have too much fear of man today, though. Fear of being offended. Or offending someone. Oh, I'm scared. I don't want to offend anybody. Why? They need offended. They need it. They're apathetic. Look at them. You just sit at them. They're just... Most people you look at, they're just a bunch of zombies. They're just, they've got no life to them. How about this verse, Psalms 94:16? Who will rise up for me against the evildoers? Or who will stand up for me against the workers of iniquity? Amen. That's a good question, isn't it? Apathetic Christians in America. Are you going to rise up for him against the evildoers? Are you going to watch your whole country continue to go to hell while you're sleeping out there? Or you're worried about whispering sweet nothings into people's ear because you don't want to offend anybody? You sound more like a bunch of women. My 6-year-old daughter's braver than you. That's not going to make very many friends. But I still believe that she is, so. Hey, listen. When you got Christian men that are supposed to be Christian men, and they're more angry at us for preaching the Word of God than they are for them killing babies, that's apathy. How about this? Isaiah 59, verse number 1 through 6. Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither his ear heavy that it cannot hear. But your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you, that he will not hear. For your hands are defiled with blood, and your fingers with iniquity. Your lips have spoken lies. Your tongue hath muttered perverseness. None calleth for justice. How about that? That's America. That's Christian apathy in America today. None calleth for justice, nor any pleadeth for truth. They trust in vanity and speak lies. They conceive mischief and bring forth iniquity. How about it? They don't want justice today. Why wasn't there 200 men down there at that clinic? Why wasn't there 200 Christian men down there? Standing with signs down there. Why not? Sadly, there was a bunch of men, so to speak, with women walking around chanting in a circle with following a wooden cross with a dead Horus on it. It's not Jesus. He ain't on the cross. Right? They were doing that, but where's all these so-called fighting fundamentalists, these champions for the faith? Where are they at in Minnesota? All these hardcore preachers that run their bus routes all over creation. How come they don't have a bus of men going down there and stand in front of that clinic? Why aren't they downtown in Minneapolis preaching to the down and out, the derelicts, the drunks, the fornicators, the sodomites and everybody else? Where are they at? Oh, I know. Because you're afraid you might suffer some embarrassment or persecution. You wouldn't want to be seen arguing with sinners, would you? That might hurt your image, wouldn't it? Well, I already ruined that a long time ago, so I'm not worried about that anymore. You know, there are many critics out there that don't like bold preaching. They'd rather you back off. So I have just a little something for my critics here and our critics here that I want to say something to them here real quick. Have you been as mad about your sin as you are about me preaching against it? Because if you were, we might get somewhere. You ought to be mad about your sin more than you're mad at me for preaching against it. American apathy is the problem. Christian apathy. Apathetic Christians that have no zeal for the Lord. You know how many times I've been told, and by the way, it's not just one source, it's many sources. I'll try to say that. Some of your family members, I don't want to get you in trouble with your family, but it's not just one. It's a few of you. Oh, that must be a cult. That must be a cult. Now, I'm going to preach a sermon sometime in the future for you. What is a cult? So you can see what a cult is, what a cult really is. I've preached some of them. I've preached on Mormonism. Now, that's a cult. Roman Catholicism is the biggest cult. There are many others. Church of Christ. You know, many others. But anyway, the point is this. For all those who like to throw those accusations around, that are baseless, by the way. By the way, I don't know who it was. Was it Brother Aaron? Is Brother Aaron, Brother Russ, or Brother Paul? I can't remember. They probably all believe it. But they said to me, you're not organized enough to be a cult leader. Aaron's like, Pastor, you're not organized enough to be a cult leader. It just doesn't work. I mean, I don't have the skill set. I'm just too matter-of-fact and straightforward. There's no, like, deceivableness in the words. It's like I don't mince words or anything like that. It's just straightforward and plain. What is it, though? A bunch of apathetic people, though. By the way, according to some, if we don't practice the pagan holidays, we must be a cult. Well, let me tell you, it's a shame when Jehovah's Witnesses, when we get likened to Jehovah's Witnesses because we don't practice holidays, let me tell you what's a shame about that. Whatever happened to the Baptists that used to stand up for what the book said? So let me tell you this. You look bad because Jehovah's Witnesses, they're correct about holidays. Now, they have the wrong motives, and yes, they're a cult. But at least they're correct about the holidays. What happened to all the Baptists that caved into Rome? I've heard a lot of people make these accusations, but let me make it easy for you. If you want to make that accusation, I have a challenge for you. I'd like you to come here, and you take your Bible with you, and I'll bring my Bible, and we'll sit down there and we'll reason together. Let's do that. If this is such a cult, man up, big boy, and come here and sit down with the Bible, and let's talk like men. Let's sit down and reason together. I'll tell you what, I'll make it easy on you. Since I'm supposed to be this supposed cult leader, I won't even do it. I'll let you talk to Nate, I'll let you talk to Russ, I'll let you talk to Paul or Aaron or any of these men. You can talk to them and I'll stay completely out of it. And I won't even say anything, I don't even need to be there. I don't even have to be there. How's that? For anyone that wants to think that, we'll see. Because I don't have to control anything, mind you. So, I won't even be there, I'll let you deal with them with the scriptures.
Amen.
Okay? You just deal with them. You don't even need to deal with me. All right? That way it'll be fair from that standpoint, because then it won't be said that I had to push myself into it or anything like that. You can just deal with them. Amen. Come on and just sit and talk about it. Let's see the Bible. Let's see what you have from the scriptures. Because last time I checked, holidays were actually a cultic behavior to practice those. Those are called the way of the heathen. Learn not the way of the heathen. Oh, don't use that one. That was the Old Testament. Everything's changed now, right, Brother Paul? But you know what people want today? Here's what they want. They want this style of preaching. Isaiah chapter 30, verse number 8. Now go write it before them at a table and note it in a book, that it may be for the time to come forever and ever. That this is a rebellious people. Lying children. Children that will not hear the law of the Lord. Which say to their seers, see not. And to their prophets, prophesy not unto us right things. Speak unto us smooth things. Prophesy deceits. See, real Christians, when they get told the truth, they might get upset at first, but then they get right. But some people are happier if they are believing lies than when the truth is exposed, because they have to admit that they fell for lies. Nobody wants to admit that they fell for a lie. Well, listen, I've had to repent of a lot of things and admit that I fell for a whole bunch of lies. Amen. But you know what? It's very liberating when you do that. Amen? It is. What is it? It's a weak, effeminate Christianity with no zeal or fire for God. What's the answer to it? You know, these men could yell at a game, cry when they lose money, but when it comes to their sin and wickedness in America, complete apathy. You know, churches, they stop standing outside of sporting events and places like that and preaching and different things. Now they just send busloads of people into sporting events. They're not standing outside anymore. They're joining them. Right? Here's the answer, though. Revelation 3:19. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous. You want to know the answer to apathy? You hear good preaching. You pray and ask God to stir those embers in your heart. And guess what? You be zealous. What does that mean? A fire, a passion, a zeal. You know why it's so strange? Hey, by the way, you want to hear something funny? I had a guy send me about 2 months ago. He sent me an email and said, why do you yell all the time? Couldn't you get your message across without yelling? Okay, get this. He's been listening for 2 months. He emailed me again last night and he goes, man, I get what you're saying. You got to yell at these people. He said, that's the only way they're going to wake up. You got to yell at them. I said, amen. What does America want? Do they want to be zealous and therefore repent Christians in America? Or is Christian apathy taken over? They want Easter bunnies and egg hunts and holidays. They want TV and sports and everything else. They don't want to run after Christ today. Our churches want to be like the world light. They want to have a lot of the world in them and a little bit of Christ in them and just try to make it all work. It's lukewarm. You know what God says about lukewarm? I will spew thee out of my mouth. I had a sermon I preached on that called Your Church Makes God Puke or something like that. Yeah. Churches that make God puke. That's what it was called. Yeah, churches that make God puke. He said, as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Not received today, is it? What happens, though, when they won't receive the rebuke and the chastening? Judgment. You better run after Christ. That's what you better do. You've wasted enough time on this earth. You have stolen and robbed God of time, of money, and of your life. You have lived for yourself. Now it's time to redeem the time, for the days are evil. Choose you this day whom you will serve. Jeremiah, I'll end it with Jeremiah 48:10. Cursed be he that doeth the work of the Lord deceitfully, and cursed be he that keepeth back his sword from the blood. You want to know why America is in complete apathy? Because the churches are in complete apathy. Because pastors have kept back their sword from the blood. And by the way, I blame pastors in America for the state of America today. Lester Roloff said a long time ago, back in the 70s, he said, there's two people you got to get straightened out, America. If you get them straightened out, you'll get America straightened out. The papas and the preachers. Amen. Yep. I blame the pulpits in America. They are so soft. They are so absolutely soft and silent towards sin. They want to teach everything, which is nothing wrong with teaching. We do that too, obviously. Teaching and preaching, they go hand in hand. But they want to teach and soft sell everything and do everything like it's a college class or a college course or a lecture or something of teaching something. And they don't want to nail sin. They don't want to really nail sin. And when people are sinning in the congregation, they don't want to deal with it. So congratulations, pastors and churches in America. Your Christian apathy is the reason America is going to hell. You know, this type of preaching should not be that controversial. Shouldn't be. I don't know if I can handle that yelling and everything else. I don't know if I can handle that. I'd like to see what you do with your extracurricular activities when you're not at church. Because I just wonder, are you that apathetic about everything in your life? Let me ask you a question. What have I now done? Is there not a cause? Amen. The Bible says the wicked shall be turned into hell and all the nations that forget God. And it starts at the pulpit. It doesn't start. We don't need to be doing dialogues. We need to be preaching. We need to be out on the streets preaching. At these events, preaching, confronting evil where it is, giving them a witness against their evil. Right. I'm going to tell you where these Baptists are headed, though, most of them. Most of them are headed into the emergent church movement. They're all sliding into that apostasy. And you're seeing it now with their goofy meetings and all their other stuff they're doing and all their music and their CCM music and everything else. They're just sliding into apostasy. That's all they're doing. They're going to slide into that emergent church movement. Mm-hmm. That's right. He came to bring a sword. Yeah, they said, we got to have unity. We got to have unity. We got to have unity. I don't want unity with a bunch of Roman Catholics and a bunch of apostate Lutherans. Apathetic America, though. Christian apathy. Settle for sin in your home. Settle for sin in the church. Settle for sin in the world. It's all there. Father, thank you, Lord, for your truth. Help us to live it every day of our lives. Dear God, strengthen us in the faith. Lord, help us never to become apathetic to sin. But help us to be zealous, therefore, and to repent. Dear God, give us that zeal and fire we need. Give us that wisdom we need, that direction we need. Stir our hearts, Lord, for you in these end times. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.